We continue now with our series of tales of the Holy Baal Shem Tov. The following tale was related by the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, Nishmo Seiden. In the city of Tarnov, in Galicia, there once lived a Jew whose name was Rabbi Lezer Lippe. Rabbi Lezer Lippe was a very simple Jew, unable to learn Torah, and did not even know the meaning of the words of the prayers or the tillim which he would recite. He would recite his davening, recite his tillim constantly, without knowing what he was saying. Nevertheless, Rabbi Lezer Lippe was a fine, upstanding, and God-fearing individual, always davening with a minyan, answering Amen, Amen Yeshmei Rabba, listening to Kriyas HaTorah from a Chumash. Whenever he was in the shul, never spoke any mundane speech, and was always careful in honoring Torah scholars. When Rabbi Lezer Lippe was a young child, his father passed away, who was by nature a very quiet and inward individual. All knew that Rabbi Lezer Lippe's father, Rabbi Elimelech, was a truly great scholar, somebody who was Boki Bishas, somebody who was versed in the entire Talmud, including the commentaries of Rashi and Tosfos by heart. But Rabbi Lezer Lippe's father, Rabbi Elimelech, would never speak with people in learning. In the shul, he would stand in a very modest place near the oven, and by trade, he was a tailor. When he was quite elderly, his wife gave birth to their child, Rabbi Lezer Lippe. During childbirth, Rabbi Lezer Lippe's mother passed away, and Mishtogedacht, when Rabbi Lezer Lippe was 1 year old, Rabbi Lezer Lippe's father, Rabbi Elimelech, also passed away. And so it was that his uncle, Rabbi Lezer Lippe's uncle, Rabbi Avrom Leib, who was Rabbi Lezer Lippe's mother's brother, who lived in one of the villages close to Tarnov, took in the poor Yosem, the Kailachtike Yosem, the complete orphan from both his father and mother, took him into his house, that he grew up in this house. Rabbi Lezer Lippe's childhood and education was one of utter simplicity without any Torah knowledge, because his uncle was very busy earning a living, and Rabbi Lezer Lippe grew up without knowing Torah, so that he became an ish poshet, a very simple man. When it came to the time of Shiduchim, that he should take a match, he was matched with a Yesema, with an orphan girl, who had grown up in the house of the rabbi and eminent Torah scholar, the Tzaddik Rabbi Moshe Meir of Tarnov. Although Rabbi Lezer Lippe would have been able to become a successful businessman, knowing as he did the various businesses that were common in the village where he lived, nevertheless, he did not want to make a living by becoming a businessman. For once, when he heard the Agadic teachings from Rav Gedalia the Melamed, Rav Gedalia the teacher of children, who would hold forth before the congregation between Mincha and Meiriv on matters of Agada, he heard Rabbi Gedalia say that one who derives his sustenance from the labor of his hands is much beloved by the Almighty, and so rather than becoming a businessman where he may have made more living, a better living, he decided to become a common laborer. Rabbi Lezer Lippe involved himself in many different types of labor. He was a builder, he would make ovens, a wood chopper, somebody who would plow gardens, cut straw, and so many years passed as he would occupy himself in these simple labors. After 10 years of being married, Rabbi Elazar Lippe and his wife were blessed with a son, and they called him on the memory of Rabbi Elazar Lippe's father, they called him Elimelech. 5-6 years later, they had a second son, and they called him the name of the father of Rabbi Elazar Lippe's wife, and that was Meshulam Zusia. And so there were now two children, 5-6 years apart, the older one, Elimelech, and the younger one was Meshulam Zusia. The children, unfortunately, were physically very, very weak, and intellectually as well, they were not well developed. Nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar Lippe and his wife would give over the children to the best of teachers so that they should learn Torah, but unfortunately they did not see success in their learning. At that time, Rabbi Elazar Lippe decided to continue earning his livelihood by providing water to the townsfolk of Tarnov from the river, which was about a mile away. This gave Rabbi Elazar Lippe a decent livelihood, because Rabbi Elazar Lippe managed to have quite a number of wealthy customers, 4 of them in particular, who paid very well for his services. The town of Tarnov had 4 Bote Knesios, 4 shuls, and one of the individuals of the town, one of the townsfolk, Zalman Doiv was his name, was the one who had the contract to provide water to the 4 shuls. It happened once that the Baal Shem Tov passed by the city of Tarnov, and nobody knew who he was, because he was traveling incognito, dressed as a simple individual, befriending the simple folk, telling them various tales of Agoda, and would tell them and relate to them the great pleasure that God derives from simple Jews who pray and say Tillim with simplicity and with wholeheartedness. And so it happened that Rabbi Elazar Lippe was bringing water through the town market square, and he saw that Rabbi Zalman Doiv, the water carrier, the other water carrier, and many other of his friends are standing and listening to the sayings of a poor wayfarer, and he decided that he too would draw close and hear what is being said. Rabbi Elazar Lippe heard that this guest is relating a story from the Medrash, that there was once a wealthy individual who brought a very fat cow, a very healthy cow, to bring as a burnt offering in the Beis HaMikdash. The cow, or the ox, was very, very strong, and the ox decided not to move from its place, and did not want to go up to be brought as an offering. A poor man happened to come by, carrying a little bunch of vegetables for his household, and seeing that the people were trying to drag this large fat ox, which refused to budge, so the poor man took his little bunch of vegetables and placed it before the ox, and the ox, desiring the vegetables, began to follow the vegetables and began munching on the vegetables until they were able to bring this ox for an offering. the owner of this fat ox was shown in a dream that this offering of the poor man who gave of his vegetables, which was supposed to be a repast, a meal for his poor household, and he gave it away so that that ox should be able to be offered as an offering on the Mizbeach, was even greater and more favored by God than this fat ox, which was brought as an oila, which was brought as a burnt offering. The Baal Shem Tov continued that God desires the heart, Rachmona Libo Boy. The rich man who brought this fat ox as an offering, and as a result of his great joy that he merited to bring a burnt offering, such as such a resplendent ox, also made other offerings from which he and his family and all his friends were able to eat, as well as the Koyanim were able to receive from the Matnis Kahuna, those gifts that are given to the Koyanim from the Shlomim, from the peace offerings, and he was as a result very happy from the great mitzvah that he had done. While, on the other hand, the poor man who had just provided the vegetables, he, in his great poverty, is crestfallen, thinking to himself, what is the worth, and what comparison can there possibly be between his little bunch of vegetables as compared to this great big fat ox which was brought for an oil as a burnt offering, as well as the other offerings that were brought by the rich individual. So the man thought to himself, the poor man. And so the rich man thought to himself that he was so happy that he merited in bringing all these great offerings. But the one who sits in heaven, blessed be he and blessed is his name, said the Baal Shem Tov, had more pleasure, derived more nachas from that small bit of vegetables of the poor man than from that fattened ox of the rich men. The Baal Shem Tov continued to explain to all those simple Jews who congregated around him that every spiritual service that a Jewish man or woman does before the Almighty and performs it because God has so commanded, all of this depends upon their feeling in the heart. And therefore, even the most minute thing within the world, even something that costs only one penny, but if it's done by a Jew, a Jewish woman, or a Jewish man, and it's done for the sake of the Almighty, and the person does it with wholeheartedness and with joy, this is truly dear and beloved before the Almighty. Very, very, very much so. And God says to the heavenly angels, see what type of good thing my son or my daughter did. Look how they serve me. And God blesses these individuals who serve him in this way, although the amount of money that is involved may be very, very small indeed. Rabbi Elazar Lippe, hearing these words, went back to his work, and although he's seeing that his horse plod along, and by the sweat of the brow, he's also pulling the wagon with the filled barrels of water, although he's busy doing this, but nevertheless, at the same time, the story of that guest, about that bunch of greens of the poor person, and the explanation that the man provided, that every type of divine service, even the smallest, which is done for the sake of the Almighty, with a true-heartedness and with joy, is very, very dear and beloved to God, this kept on penetrating his mind and did not give him any rest. Rabbi Elazar Lippe is envying that poor man who had that little bit of vegetables, and in his heart he is praying and pleading with God that he merit to do some type of similar mitzvah and be able to serve God with all his heart and with great joy. When Rabbi Elazar Lippe came home, he told his wife all that he had heard from the guest, and in his own words, he explained to her that even now, although we do not have the Beis HaMikdash, we are bereft of the Holy Temple. Still and all, every Jewish man and every Jewish woman who performs a mitzvah with joy, it's just like they are bringing an offering, it's just like they are being makriv a korban. A week passes, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and the story of the guest and of relating about the korban of the rich man and the korban of the poor man, and how the poor man's offering was even more beloved than the rich man's before the Almighty, remains within Rabbi Elazar Lippe and does not give him any rest. And so it happened that once when Elazar Lippe brought water to Rav Naftoli, the Rosh HaKohol, the president and the leader of the whole congregation, as he's bringing him water, a new idea comes to him in his head, a new idea falls within his mind, which made him very, very happy. As we said earlier, the four most important Balabatim, people of means who were in the community, were Rabbi Elazar Lippe's lot, and they would pay him a half a groschen more than the regular amount which was paid for bringing water, and almost half of Rabbi Elazar Lippe's sustenance was from these four people. While when it came to bringing water for the shul, there the shuls would pay half of the amount that was paid by the middle class balabatim of the city. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Elazar Lippe has this wonderful idea that why don't I change places with Rabbi Zalman Doiv? I will give him these four very important balibatim, these four important townsfolk who pay me more with half a groschen, and I will exchange with Rabbi Zalman Doiv, and he will have my people, and I will have this chus of providing water to the four shuls of the city. This way, Rabbi Zalman Doiv, who is such a poor person, will have the ability to take care of his family, and I will have that great merit, I, together with my wife, will have the great merit of sacrificing in order to provide for the Mikdosh Emiat, for the minor Bote Mikdosh. The small Beis HaMikdosh for each shul is like a minor Beis HaMikdosh, and I will be the one who provides the water for the shuls, just like that poor person made it possible that that offering should be brought. No sooner said than done, as Rabbi Elazar Lippe suggested to Rabbi Zalman Doiv that they exchange the four balabatim for the four shuls, Rabbi Zalman Doiv was more than happy to acquiesce to Rabbi Elazar Lippe's request, and so it was that Rabbi Elazar Lippe started to provide water on a regular basis to the four shuls of the city of Tarnov. As time went on, Rabbi Elazar Lippe and his wife continued to be very concerned about the fact that their children were not succeeding in their learning, and this caused them no end of grief. Rabbi Elazar Lippe said, "My father, Rabbi Elimelech, was a tzaddik, as I heard from the people who knew him. He was a goyin olam, a tremendous scholar." When his wife says, "I know also as well that My father, as the rabbi of the city had said, where I grew up in his house, that he too was a great tzaddik and a great goyin, a truly the great Torah genius. And why is it our lot that our children do not succeed in their learning of the Torah? And both of them would cry in their bitterness on their sad lot that their children are not succeeding in learning Torah. Although Rabbi Lezer Lippe's wife had grown up in the Rav's house, as mentioned earlier, and she had heard many tales, which was read by the Rabbonis from the various Yiddish books and other books, and she also knew many halachas, many laws, which she had seen and heard from the Rav, from his psalkim, from his adjudications. Nevertheless, she was unable to read, and she couldn't even daven from a siddur, but she did know the brachas of Hamoitzi, Be'erimine Mezoines, Be'erpri Adoma, Be'erpri Oetz, Shahakoil, and those blessings which she knew she would say in her God-fearing manner, and so she was not only a God-fearing one, but also very kind-hearted. It would happen quite often that Rabbi Lezer would say Tehillim, Mila b'Mila, word for word, very slowly, and his wife would repeat afterwards, and both of them would cry and supplicate and ask the Almighty from the depths of their heart that God have pity upon them and open up the minds and hearts of their children, of Elimelech, their older son, and Meshulam Zusia, the younger one, that they should be able to be proper receptacles for words of Torah, and that they also be truly God-fearing Jews. Rabbi Lezer Lippe and his wife also went to great lengths to do as much tzedakah as they possibly could, above and beyond their means, to the extent that many a time Rabbi Lezer Lippe and his pious wife fasted, would not eat their meals, and their meals they would give to poor people. Moreover, every Erev Shabbos, Rabbi Lezer Lippe's wife would bake two challahs in honor and in the schus of her two children, Rabbi Elimelech and Meshulam Zusia, and she would distribute the challahs to poor people. She would also light two candles in the shul for the schus of her two children, and she would pray that just as she's illuminating the shul with her candles, L'kovet Shabbos, so too may God illuminate the eyes of their children in Torah and in His divine service. And so it was that when Rabbi Lezer Lippe hit upon the idea to begin bringing water for the shuls, and that in the merit of providing water for the shuls, God should have mercy upon them and upon their children, and the children should succeed in their learning. When he came up with this bright idea, he right away went to his wife and told her this idea, because this would entail losing quite a large percentage of their income, and his wife, hearing this idea, found favor. She loved the idea very much. She said, "That's a wonderful idea. Maybe this will be that thing in which merit Hashem will help us." And so it transpired, as mentioned earlier, that Rabbi Lezer Lippe said to Rabbi Zalman Dov, "Why don't we change people? I will give you the four very important balabatim who give me more money, and you, Zalman Dov, will give me the privilege of providing water for the four shuls." Rabbi Zalman Dov, as mentioned, readily agreed to Rabbi Lezer Lippe's proposal, and this was something which really nobody in the town had paid much attention to, because what's the difference? Who was providing the water? They were both simple, earnest water carriers, and they provided the water in a proper manner, while Rabbi Lezer Lippe and his wife, on their part, were truly gratified and joyous, and so overwhelmed with this chus that they now had of providing water. There were, in fact, times that not only would Rabbi Lezer Lippe himself go to get the water, but Rabbi Lezer Lippe's wife, the righteous and pious woman, would also go with Rabbi Lezer Lippe to the river, and she too would bring up many, many bucket loads of water with the holy intention that Jewish people should wash their hands with this water that they are providing before the davening, and in the merit of their providing water for the little bote mikdoshes, for the shuls, that their children be blessed, that they merit to become talmidei chachamim, scholars, and uvdei Hashem be'emes, serving Hashem in truth and with completeness. Although 2 years passed that they did this additional manner of service in addition to all that happened before, still their children had not yet seen any blessing in their learning. And Rabbi Lezer Lippe and his wife did not, however, give up hope, kept on praying to Hashem that their children be blessed with Hatzlocha in Limud, in learning Torah, and in Avodas Hashem. The conclusion of this story, Amir Tz Hashem, in the coming installment.